It's Tuesday, December 12th, 2017. It's the Level 1 News.
The only news broadcast that's more volatile than the price of Bitcoin.
So yeah, follow-up. Net neutrality vote this week. It's not going to be good for the home team. ISPs and such are going to be reclassified as information services, even though they've never turned loose of their infrastructure, which they promised to do so that they could fully become information services. But whatever, I'm not salty. One of the things we're going to lose with that is the requirement that they clearly advertise what it is you're signing up for, which is very surprising.
This affects all kinds of ways that they have to disclose what kind of service you're going to get, whether or not you're going to pay more for overages, whether or not there are taxes and licensing fees and stuff like that. So
what constitutes an overage?
Yeah. So your bill is, you're going to sign up for a service and they're going to say, hey, it's $15 a month. And you're going to get billed and it's $25. And that's perfectly okay, according to Ajit Pai. He believes that it is...
the market will take care of itself.
Well, he believes it's onerous to demand that they actually tell you. Now, the other thing about it is, under the old rules, if they added stuff like that, they had to make an effort to contact you and say, hey, listen, this is going to happen. But under these new rules, it's like...
They post it on the web somewhere.
Least something or other. It's like, and basically, what annoys the ISP the least? So it's like, no, here on our end user license agreement in the 517th paragraph, right here it is. So you knew. So you can't complain.
One of the options is the ISP can just let the FCC know and they'll post it somewhere, which I thought was really extra fun.
But they don't have to tell you. And I bet the FCC is going to hide it too. You
know? It's going to be buried on page 347.
So a lot of times when we tell you these stories, we try to tell you, it's like, okay, so do this to protect yourself. There's nothing. Just deal with it.
Yeah. We did a net neutrality video with Paul. I really wish that I had directly responded to some of the Ajit Pai talking points, because a lot of what he says is a lot like the Wookiees from Endor on South Park. You ever see that? It's like, I'm just going to confuse the jury by saying that Wookiees are not from Endor. I don't really understand his talking points about a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, why? How on earth is it good to roll back the requirement that ISPs tell customers exactly what they're signing up for and what the fees will be? I mean, that just seems pretty crazy. I guess that's something the FTC is going to deal with, but Congress hasn't passed a law to make the FTC able to deal with that. I don't know. Well, we've got another follow-up. The victims of a mystery attack in Cuba have been left with anomalies in their brain tissue. Now, this article said that their doctors are being kind of tight-lipped about this, but there are MRI scans that show abnormalities and brain damage. So they're starting to think maybe a sonic weapon didn't cause this, or at least no known type of sonic weapon can actually cause brain damage.
Well, you can understand, you know, medical records. They can't really just come out and talk about it, even if it is national security. But yeah, apparently sonic weapons can't do the kind of damage that some of these people seem to have. And there was that whole theory that it was just sort of like a mass hysteria type of thing, you know, but they all seem to have the same kind of brain damage. So
it's similar white matter damage has been seen in people that have like concussion type damage, but without the physical trauma. So it's really interesting how that could have been caused. Now, of course, Cuba has no idea. They say they have no idea what's going on. I thought the memo from the U.S. was really interesting. It was basically, hey, Cuban intelligence, you probably know who is behind this. You need to stop this shenanigans. And it's like, wow, okay. I mean, I guess that's one way to deal with it.
But it continued after that. So yeah. If they know, they are doubling down. They're definitely going to keep doing this. So
now we covered through, gosh, it was probably three or four episodes of the news, a story about gender equality and equal pay inside of Google. And we covered the story about the guy that was dismissed for sort of writing a memo about that. Well, so far, Google is winning. They won a gender discrimination lawsuit, but this is only the class action part of it. So some former female employees that felt underpaid and were trying to move from just regular lawsuit to class action status, and that was denied.
There was three of them. Now, the judge denied this not because he said there was no evidence of this, but because he said they couldn't prove that this was class action status. Like, they couldn't prove that because they might have been discriminated against, that all females at Google were discriminated against. Because there's only three of them.
So the lawsuit will continue.
Yes. I think they're even going to try again for the class action thing, but they're going to rewrite it in a way that supposedly proves that. Now, Google's response is that women, they did their own audit. You know, I mean, if you can trust that. And women are paid at 99.7% of men with, you know, all other things being equal. So, meh.
I guess. I mean, isn't that admitting that they're not paid equal? I mean, if you want to be like super pedantic about it.
Well, I think, you know, 0.7, you could say that because the sample of women is so small, that's a margin of error.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that to be true, but I would think that would probably be the case.
Good news at Google. Anybody that's been affected by the wave of demonetization and stuff, I guess, Google is hiring 10,000 people to stop its child exploitation problem. I wasn't really aware that Google had YouTube had a child exploitation problem, but apparently it's extensive.
Well, I did. You remember we did the story about the videos about, and so a lot of people sent us comments and they're like, no, you need to go watch these videos because they are crazy. And I watched one and it was Spider-Man. So they're like this really bad animation, you know, like the computer generated animation. You ever see the Korean news site that parodies the US news by making, so it's lower than that level because they crank that out in like, you know, a couple of days. It's right after the story comes out. This was Spider-Man on the toilet and it was, you know, it was like very loud toilet sounds while he was struggling. And then he's looking at his phone. He's got a picture of Elsa, the Disney character. So then the camera pans around. Elsa's getting out. She's been in the bathroom the whole time. She gets out of the tub. Spider-Man tackles her and then in like a sexual position, sort of like. And apparently that is a video that was marked as family friendly and put on a child's playlist. I can see how that's maybe not appropriate for children. Not that I support this. Police your own children. It shouldn't be up to YouTube. It's your fault.
I wonder how Google would classify Lee WebDriver torso videos, if those are family friendly or not. Now a bunch of people are going to Google that and find that it's just random shapes and noises.
Well, but are they on children's playlists? Probably not.
I don't know. They're the most innocuous thing ever.
But
I
mean, so here's my question about this article. Do you think being one of those 10,000 people, is that one of the cushiest jobs you could ever have? You're just sitting there looking at videos all day. Or is it just soul crushing? Well, I guess it depends on your personality.
I mean, I would be definitely soul crushing if I had to watch like ISIS terrorist videos all day. It's like, oh, that person got beheaded. Flag.
Well, I
flag.
Think you could make that decision. Do you have to watch every second of the video? Some people I see in the comments of videos where, you know, it'd be like a 12-hour video of the Star Trek engine.
Somebody's going to have to watch that.
And somebody's like, I flagged this for nudity, so somebody's going to have to watch the whole thing.
I predict a lot more mass shooters coming out of Google than perhaps we've seen in the past. Also, in a follow-up, the state board has conceded that it violated the free speech rights of a red light camera critic. So this is the guy.
Don't you think he looks like Dr. McCoy?
He does look like Dr. McCoy. Maybe like Dr. McCoy's love child or something. I don't know. But this is the guy in Oregon that referred to himself as an engineer because I think he was a software engineer.
No. He had like civil engineering or something like that. He actually had the degree. It might have been from a different country, but their argument was he wasn't licensed.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. So, and it turns out that may have been, I don't know.
They fined him $500.
And they had to give it back.
It all stems from, we covered the story, but it all stems from the red light camera. So he figured out that the yellow lights had been reduced in time. And he proved it. And he made some amazing documentation and filmed it and all that and sent it into him. And they fined him $500 for claiming he was an engineer without a license.
Well, he got a refund. He got the refund in August. But him and his lawyer are like, not so fast. The refund's not enough. Let's continue on here. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this unfolds.
Now, they joined up with another guy who had a PhD in engineering, civil engineering. And he had put his name on something like a product or a company or something. And they're like, yes, we have this engineer on staff or advising or whatever. But he also was not licensed in the state. And they went after that guy the same way.
Oh, extra. It's like, that's just malicious. That's just, yeah. I mean, come on.
Well, that's what this guy's saying is you can keep your $500. This doesn't solve the problem. So they are continuing with their court case. And the judge really was on their side. He's like, yes, this is egregious. But he only gave them their $500 back. So
Apple is going to start paying Ireland the billions it owes in back taxes. This stems from a really old European Union court case where the European Union changed tax law and Ireland said, no, you can't do that. And the European Union said, no, we can. And it was just a mess for Apple. But Apple has, I think Apple paid this into escrow or something.
No, this is they're about to start. Okay. They're not actually giving the money to Ireland. This is just them starting to put it into the escrow.
Okay. So the escrow, now Apple may get that money back if they win their court case against the EU, I think is the what I read somewhere else.
Ireland doesn't want the money. Ireland wants to keep the sweetheart deal with Apple, and probably Ireland's politicians want to keep those duffel bags full of cash coming in. But EU says, no, you must take this $14 billion, and it's still in court, but now Apple is finally going to start putting it into the escrow, which takes it out of the Apple coffers, at least, I guess.
We had a really amazing story at the end of last week's news about the Amazon pooper.
Quote, unquote, amazing.
The amazing log. I don't know. It's just, it's like an Amazon Yule log. They delivered a log that was not on the packing list.
An Amazon delivery driver pooped on a guy's sidewalk.
Well, so there's a follow-up here where apparently Amazon drivers are forced to deliver up to 200 parcels a day, and they don't have, like, everything is timed, so they don't really have time for toilet breaks or anything. And there's a video here, and the video is amazing. Like, if you watch the undercover video, it's buried in here somewhere. I don't know what's going on. There's too many ads. I can't see what's happening.
Sign up for a newsletter. We use cookies. Look at these ads. So, but this is actually in the UK. I imagine in the US, it's exactly the same.
Yes.
And what it boils down to is this is not technically Amazon doing this. They're doing the old, you know, hire a contractor, but it's all Amazon packages. So they might as well be Amazon employees. And these guys don't get time to eat or use the bathroom or anything.
Or work a reasonable shift.
They even talk about how these guys carry around, you know, the old road trip trick where you get the jug of the big Gatorade bottle and you pee in that. Well, they're doing that. And the guys in the parking garages are citationing them for having jugs of urine in the car. You can't win.
Yeah, they're not really even making minimum wage if you take into account the fact that there may be icy road conditions or roads that are closed or anything like that. And apparently that's against regulation. But, you know, here in America, we don't have those kind of regulations. That's just an entrepreneurial thing. It's like, yes, as long as people are willing to do this, woo, capitalism.
Well, I think there might be. I know for CDL, definitely. There is. I don't know about.
There's definitely regulations that would frown upon this, if not outright, you know, but some fines to be issued.
I don't think now when you're just driving around in a van, because like with the CDL, they're tracking it and they have to show proof. I don't know if that's true for these. And these guys, they pay, at least in Europe, I think it was like 200, I don't know if it was pounds or euros or whatever, but 200 a week just to get the truck and pay the insurance.
Yeah.
And then you're making 160 a day, but you got to recoup that 200. And if you don't deliver all your packages, I don't think you get the 160.
Yeah. And some of the mileage mentioned in the article was, I think, 16 pence a mile. Here in America, it's like 50 cents a mile. And I think that's quite a bit more.
I wonder if they're paying their own fuel. I bet they are.
Yeah.
And that's way more in Europe.
Yeah.
So, bad times. I think this speaks more to the employment problem than to an Amazon problem, because there's always people waiting to take this job if you don't want it. And it's just a really bad job.
But wait, what about regulation? I don't know. I don't want things to be regulated, but at the same time, I don't want people, like, I feel like people that are working this job for like months or years on end will eventually go postal. And by go postal, I mean that they will start shooting everybody.
Yeah. It's a problem of, again, it's the chicken and egg. Amazon has billions of dollars, so they can purchase the government and they can create a world where this kind of thing is fine and it doesn't matter. And so introducing new regulations, you're still like, hey, Amazon, give us new regulations to regulate yourself. Huh?
My favorite quote from our next article is from the MIT press guy. So the U.S. is testing a microwave weapon to stop North Korea's missiles. So basically, we'll launch a missile from a B-52 that goes to near a nuclear facility in North Korea and then sort of detonates, I guess, in the atmosphere. But it blankets the area with microwave radiation, which fries electronics, but not people, I guess, because that's how microwave radiation works.
I can't imagine how it wouldn't affect meat. You know? I guess it's like a really quick pulse.
Well, it's only a slightly increased risk of cancer, I guess, for those people. It doesn't kill them immediately. I don't know.
It would be less lethal than, say, a 5,000-pound bomb.
Yes.
So there's that.
But the quote from the guy from MIT is, you know, it's like if we're facing a nuclear threat,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like we would use the sci-fi weapon when we've got other conventional weapons that will definitely do the job.
Yeah, if you hit a nuclear plant with... Now, I guess there is also the worry of, like, if you hit a nuclear plant with classic munitions, you might trigger some sort of horrible meltdown.
Mm.
So maybe, but yeah, this thing has been tested. It's a Boeing thing. So
but a nuclear reactor that loses control of its computer, that totally won't cause a meltdown either.
Well, that's a good point. So they've only tested this in ideal conditions. No one knows if it would really work. So yeah, if we're looking to avert nuclear war, probably should just go with what we know. But that doesn't give Boeing that big contract. So I'm sure this will continue. Also, this is probably, like, they're saying North Korea, but I think maybe Russia and China might be in the crosshairs of this thing, you know? It's like, hey, what can we do to not really start a shooting war, but slow them down?
I can definitely see that it would be less of an international incident if you detonated some kind of weapon in the atmosphere above a country, but you didn't do anything but damage infrastructure.
Yeah, right. So no loss of life. So can you really talk your people into war if there was no loss of life?
I have a feeling that soon we're going to find out, because that shoe's going to be on the other foot, because we probably imported the technology to do that from China.
And if not, after they read this article, they're going to be like, oh, go get to work on that. We need that.
The EU is urging internet companies to do more to remove extremist content. So yeah, they're just saying you need to do more to police content, because this is bad.
They're kind of saying, hey, it would be really nice if you would police your extremist content. Sure would hate for there to be EU regulation that made you do that. You know, hey, wink, wink, get to work. Now, the thing that's terrifying about this for me, remember the Patriot Act when we had that, like, post 9/11, things got crazy. I think they're still crazy. But quickly, the word extremist went to what they called domestic terrorists, which was anybody who was critical of the government, basically. So who decides?
The Occupy Wall Street bozos, which were glorified hippies.
And all of the, like, militia people, and I'm not agreeing with the militia people, but I'm saying as soon as you disagree with the government, you become an extremist. So who decides? Who decides what's extreme? And in this case, it seems to be like the EU itself is.
Well, I definitely don't think that the Occupy Wall Street people were, any of them were extremists. And, you know, a little bit of hippie love might have been appropriate in that scenario, but definitely there is a big difference between that and, you know, extremist terrorists that are out to blow things up. I mean, come on. That's just being disingenuous. I mean, come on.
But under this program, I'm sure that they would rank that as the same kind. It has to come down because it's extremist.
This next article is also deeply disturbing on so many levels. The U.S. claims it doesn't need a court order to ask tech companies to build backdoors. And then in the testimony here, it was like, well, have you ever asked companies to do that? Do you have any companies that are doing that? And the answer was no comment. and then later they say that they've never had to compel a company to build a backdoor. But I immediately thought of a counterexample, and that was Lavabit. You know, they were after Edward Snowden, and Lavabit wouldn't build them a backdoor, and so they were shut down.
And this, basically what they're saying is, that was perfectly fine, and we're going to continue to do that, and we don't need anybody's permission to continue to do that. So what we're telling you is, it's probably been happening, and the companies have just gone along with it because they're afraid of this. But now they have to.
If you want to check out how deep the rabbit hole goes on this, you should check out the Wikipedia page on room 641A at AT&T, because that goes back to the Echelon days. So, yeah, I mean, that's just super disturbing. So this has been going on for quite a while.
But I'm sure AT&T is totally complicit in that.
Yeah. It's probably a major source of revenue, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, they had remember that when they started doing the data requests, again, with the Patriot Act and all that, the companies were allowed to charge, and they were making a lot of money every year just fulfilling those requests.
There were 2 or 3 years there where anybody could order anybody else's cell phone records, and that was completely fine until journalists started ordering politicians' cell phone records, and then that went away really fast. You can still do it, but now you just have to get it in aggregate.
And it was fairly expensive, and really all you're doing is just, you know, querying a database and printing it out and sending it to somebody.
The margins there are pretty good.
Easy money.
Germany is preparing a law for backdoors in any type of modern device, so it seems like the bad idea is occurring simultaneously around the world.
They want the actual law, though, and I kind of think this is going to happen in Germany, because they've been talking about this for a long time. Now, you think of routers and PCs and, you know, infrastructure equipment like that. But these guys actually brought up the instance of a smart car. So smart cars, instead of having an alarm these days, because car alarms are fairly ineffective and just really annoying. But if you mess with a smart car, it can contact the owner via app. And they're like, hey, if we're serving a search warrant or we're planning a bug or something, we can't have that. So we want the ability to backdoor it and stop that from happening.
Wow. So when somebody opens your trunk and installs a GPS thing, the car is no longer going to notify you.
Exactly.
That just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It yeah. seems like the opportunity for abuse there outweighs any benefit that you might have.
Yes, that is the appropriate reaction, is just stammering and inability to process. But I think it's going to be a reality for Germans. And I think probably it's this, you know, slow creep. It's just going to be all of EU and eventually everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Google has lifted the lid on FBI data requests. They've published a lot of their data request letters, including the national security letters, which are normally unpublishable. They normally, it's a gag order. The letter comes like, you will turn over this stuff and you will not talk to anybody about it. Google has been fighting to be able to publish those because a lot of the gag orders no longer make sense because whoever they were after has been caught or is no longer relevant or whatever. And so they're publishing this on a website. And the most disturbing thing here is that apparently there have been 19,000 requests so far this year.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that is just the ones that have been opened up for the gag orders. So anything that's still ongoing has not been opened up. And I bet there's a fair number of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, are criminals really using Google to that extent? Or has everyone been labeled a terrorist?
I don't know. I mean, you see these stories a lot where, like, remember, what was the woman in Florida? It was like Casey Anthony. She had Googled how to poison her kid or chloroform her kid or something like that. So really? You used your own Google account to, so people are very stupid about this kind of thing.
I wonder what kind of odds Lloyd's of London would give me on the over-under for how long it's going to take for companies to convince the government to classify extreme couponers as extremists.
I guess it would be, you could, it's like, hey, you take the Ajit Pai approach, right? It's like, hey, these coupons are for people who are poor and, you know, they need the extra help and this is actually preventing them from using the coupons. And so you're hurting poor people and sick people by allowing couponing. I can totally see that.
This pro net neutrality activist is against corporate profits and the capitalistic American way, therefore is a terrorist. People keep finding hidden cameras in their Airbnbs. This is funny. This tweet actually, Jason Scott retweeted this. He's the guy, like, if you remember the Brian Lunduke modem challenge, he's the guy that provided all the BBS files to be able to do that. But yeah, a friend of his or somebody he knows or something found a camera in the bedroom, and it looks like a motion detector. It is in fact an IP camera disguised to look at like a motion detector.
And that's actually on the large end of these, because you can get the cameras that just look like a screw. Have you seen those? And then you can put that anywhere. You know, I mean, if you just anywhere that you have a faceplate for a light switch or a socket or something like that. And I'm sure there's probably a lot more of this going on than we have any idea about. They talked about another instance where someone found one in a smoke detector and contacted them. And then there was another woman who didn't report it, but she had found one. And then the owner was kind of like stalking her afterwards because he had her cell phone number and he just kept texting her. And they, because she didn't report it or take pictures of it like this person did, they were real hesitant to give her money back to her.
Wow. Yeah, Airbnb. Woo.
I think hidden cameras and surveillance, it's a reality that's just part of the rest of the future. I mean, we're not going to be able to get away from it. But just be aware that wherever you are, there might be a camera.
So what you're telling me is I need to pack a really bright infrared light bulb in my luggage to just blind all the cameras in a given room.
Maybe that's a product we could sell.
Another $1 million idea right here from Level One Tech.
Right. Just something that's easy to suspend in a part of the room that would hit all the walls, you know, or maybe a telescopic stand.
I wish we could patent it, but I saw somebody had a baseball cap because they were walking through one of those like face recognition stadiums, and it was just like it was like a deity was walking through the stadium because it was just blinding all of the cameras.
I've seen jewelry, like anti paparazzi jewelry as well. So yeah, it's not a new idea. But hey, you know, we don't need to patent it. We'll just sell it in a level one store.
For a preview of our dystopian future with the Internet of Things, you need look no farther than the Apple iOS HomeKit vulnerability that was recently discovered. HomeKit, this Apple is going to release some hardware for this. It was originally slated to come out this year, but they delayed it. But the software, some of the software is there in iOS. And wow, you could take over smart locks and all sorts of stuff remotely.
Garage doors, locks to your front door, lights, all kinds of stuff. And there was a vulnerability. They didn't really go into the details about how you do it. And it was apparently fairly difficult. But to get access to someone's home, people will... They'll do some crazy stuff. Now, think about this for warrantless searches. You know, just pop the garage door open, let yourself in. Or an exploit gets out. They're going to fix this one before it gets out. But an exploit gets out, and then everyone's doors are openable. That's crazy. The thing about that, I think the author of that article was a little bit of a shill. Because he was like, yeah, this was pretty bad, but do I still trust HomeKit? Yes, I think I do.
I trust HomeKit because Apple is always there and watching and protecting me from the bad guys. And it's like, I don't think that's how that works.
I didn't include the story, but remember the Amazon smart lock for the deliveries? One of the Washington Post, which of course Bezos owns, wrote a scathing article about the Amazon HomeKit. He said it was, or the Amazon lock. He said it was terrible and he would no longer use it.
Wow. I'm surprised that guy hasn't been fired. That's a thing now, right? Because Jeff Bezos would personally come, you know, Dread Pirate Bezos will come and just fire that guy.
Maybe just break his knees.
Process doppelganging. If you haven't heard that before, you soon will. This is from security researchers, but this is going to be a presentation at the Black Hat London, or was a presentation at Black Hat London. It's a Windows thing. It's NTFS. It exploits a feature of NTFS where you can overwrite part of an executable like you're doing just a regular software update, but the update can be malicious. And so you can inject malicious code into a trusted application and then roll back the transaction on the trusted executable. And when you, because that process is atomic, like the create a transaction, roll the commit, restart the executable, roll back the commit. That all basically occurs as one atomic process within the operating system. There's never an opportunity for another process, like a virus scanner, to step in there and inspect the changes that are being made to the operating system. So malware could exploit that and undetectably deploy itself on Windows, and there isn't an antivirus on the market that can deal with that.
And this is another one. It's difficult to accomplish. It's a very complicated thing to do. But there's really no fix. There's no way to protect yourself from this.
Because it's a feature. It's not a bug. Yeah, it's a feature.
It's just out there, and you have to be aware of it and live in fear.
Because NTFS was designed before a time that had this. NTFS is the fantastically ancient, crappy file system that we're all stuck with on Windows anyway. Not good. Well, if you're on a WordPress site, you might want to check and see if you've got a keylogger installed, because 5,500 WordPress sites have been infected with a keylogger, which logs anything anybody types anywhere on the WordPress site, including the login form or other forms that you might have on the site. And it's sent to cloudflare.something, which actually had cloudflare.solutions, but it actually has nothing to do with Cloudflare.
Yeah, it's just the .solutions domain. That's very, very clever. Now, this has been around for a long time. First, it was just ad inserting, and then it went to crypto mining. Now, it's ad inserting, crypto mining, and keylogging. And I think they said many of these top 5,000 sites they found were in the top 200.
I guess the criminals are feeling their version of adpocalypse as well. It's like, yeah. We used to be able to just inject malicious ads and make a living. And then we had to crypto mine, and now we're having to sell your keystrokes.
Now, this thing, if you're doing e-commerce with a WordPress site, nope. Because it will capture everything.
Has there ever been a point in time that WordPress security was not a dumpster fire of insanity?
I don't think so.
Nice Hash, speaking of dumpster fires in terms of security, Nice Hash is probably gone forever.
They lost the entire wallet. Somebody got in and got literally everything, which is, that had to be... They don't say on their website. I think it was like 70 million or something like that, right?
Wow.
Yeah, quite. Now, that was under the valuations from Wednesday. What, so maybe 55 million now. I don't know, but still not a non-trivial amount of money.
I wonder if they're like, is it like the Bitcoin experts, the cryptocurrency experts? This is bad because I'm inviting people to comment on things. We've learned not to do that, but against my better judgment, for the cryptocurrency experts in the audience, do you think there's ever a situation where there's a version of Bitcoin or there's a version of some cryptocurrency where, and we've seen this with Ethereum, at least in the early days of Ethereum, where you could roll back a transaction when a bug occurs, because it just seems crazy to assume that there's never going to be a software bug.
I think that sort of betrays the spirit of it, because then you're looking at court cases that could roll it back, mm-hmm. right? You could have a judge be like, well, this 12-year-old wasn't old enough to be using Bitcoin. And,
and then it just becomes untenable.
Yeah. And then every transaction is getting held up in court. Then, so how do you stop that wallet from transacting to freeze the account from then on?
Yeah.
The anonymity is destroyed. So, yeah, I think it has to be – it's a situation where those that understand it well are always going to victimize those who don't understand it well.
Yeah.
But, well, how about every other form of currency? what percentage of the population owns most of the Federal Reserve notes? The ones that understand it the best versus the ones that don't. Yeah.
I guess it's also true that you would have to roll that transaction back immediately. You couldn't wait the 6 months or a year for it to wind its way through the court system because,
right.
you know, whoever stole them will have moved on by then. And then you've got a whole chain of victims at that point.
Or you have to freeze that transaction somehow or freeze that wallet. And then who decides when you can freeze a wallet?
Yeah.
And then people just start doing that automatically. And yeah, it becomes a huge mess. I guess you could say it's kind of already a huge mess because people are getting their stuff stolen, and NiceHash was, I mean, that affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, was it a bug or was it just, I think it was just bad security, wasn't it?
Probably just bad security.
Yeah.
But, I mean, aren't all bugs just down to bad security? So
I suppose.
I don't know. A popular keyboard that people were using apparently has leaked 31 million users' personal data. The amazing thing about this, open S3 buckets, pretty much. Not exactly an S3 bucket, but basically the entire company's database was open for download.
Now, the scary thing about this was AI.type or type.ai or something like that. Apparently really popular. And this uncovered the fact that, yes, they were capturing your keystrokes and recording them in this database.
Which and also what apps you've installed, your phone number and your IMEI and a bunch of things.
Pictures. They had pictures of some of the users. So they were building, and this is not uncommon. It's horrible. Well, it's not uncommon for a company to have like your profile, you know. So they had your user ID in one table, but in another table, they were trying to put together your phone number, your address, your picture to know more about you because this was an ad-driven free app. There was a paid version and an ad-driven version. The ad people had these profiles because they were selling. They were going to the ad advertisers and being like, hey, here's what we got. We got these profiles. You want to advertise to these people. Well, now all that information is stolen.
Woo! Speaking of stolen information, PayPal says 1.6 million customer details are stolen in a breach of Canadian subsidiary. This is kind of clickbait because this is not technically PayPal. This is a company that PayPal acquired that in the later phases of the acquisition, the company they're acquiring didn't secure their stuff. PayPal turned it off. PayPal didn't actually technically lose the data, but PayPal did own the company at the time of the data loss.
This was you pay, it's like a utility payment or something like that thing that they bought.
Online bill pay in Canada.
They were trying to integrate it and, well, the worst happened.
Yeah, the identities that were lost were people that used the bill pay service and also the recipients of the bills from the online bill pay service because both parties had to be signed up in the system.
PayPal is contacting those people, so certainly not an Equifax type deal. They inherited a problem. They identified it, and they're trying to fix it. But, hey, it is a weekly example of horrible data leaks.
Stanford University. Stanford, an Ivy League. Would you say Stanford's Ivy League? Stanford's basically Ivy League, I think.
I don't know. I don't know what counts as Ivy League. Probably.
It's up there. Prestigious.
Their household name.
Yeah. And they have a merit-based scholarship. Oh, wait. No, it's not merit-based. Oh, wait. Yes, it is. Well, no, it's not, actually. So they have a scholarship that's like, if you're really poor and, you know, you otherwise meet the criteria for Stanford, you can get in. And so depending on how much scholarship you get is how poor you are, except they accidentally leaked that data to one of their students and one of their students did an analysis on it. And that's not actually the case at all.
They actually leaked this data to all of their business school students. I don't know how that happened, but this guy figured out, hey, any business account for this that Stanford gives you your account, can get to this data. And he discovered, and so that, you know, this was a business school guy. He was like, let me mine this data. And he came up with students who are international students and students with a background already in business.
Finance.
Were already hugely, hugely popular with getting. So the way they're defending it is you get your initial, everybody got the initial whatever. But if you were a woman or an international student or you were in finance.
Or minority.
You got more. And a lot more.
So that seems less terrible, I guess, but still not honest in terms of the disclosure.
Yeah, still flies in the face of what they claim, which is it's based on need. In a lot of cases, the female and international and minority students didn't need it as much as some white male, but they got it anyway.
Also in huge news this week, just news everywhere, Patreon. We're going to have a separate video on this, but everybody hates Patreon's new fee. So Patreon is changing the way that they do fees. And so they say that they're paying creators more, and that's not technically untrue, but they're also charging the people that contribute to creators more. They're shifting who pays the transaction fees and keeping most of the transaction fees that the creator pays themselves.
The problem here is mostly at the low end. Now, of course, you know, as people who use Patreon, the dollar contributors, those are the people you really want to court, because a lot, you know, our whales, so we call them our whales. The whales will get fatigued, and we understand it. You know, hey, you're giving $100 a month.
We encourage that.
At some point,
don't be crazy.
At some point, hey, I just can't make this $100 payment. You know, this is an extra burden, and hey, that's fine. But the dollar people, if you can just get enough of the dollar people, you really, anybody can afford a dollar. Well, I don't know about anybody, but most people can afford a dollar. And so if you just have a lot of dollar people, then you're doing great. But this really, really punishes the dollar people.
Yeah, 35 cents a transaction is what you have to pay, and 2.9%. So if you are someone who supports creators on Patreon, let's say that you had 10 different creators, what they did before was aggregate that into one $10 charge, and then Patreon would take it. And so that's only one transaction fee from the credit card companies, and everything is great. And Patreon would split that among all of the creators that are receiving that funding. Now they're charging 35 cents for every creator that a patron is supporting. And so that's going to eat significantly into the amount of money if you support a lot of creators. And I think that's actually going to make it worse. I mean, already there was not really a lot of diversity in Patreon. The vast majority of people on Patreon are not making very much at all. And you know, Patreon seems to be saying that we don't want the overhead of supporting the smaller people. We just want the larger people. But I don't think that's healthy for this kind of a creator economy.
And I guess it has to do with them having to carry the burden of the transaction fees. But still, I mean, if they're making any profit at all.
Well, it's still an aggregate. I guess the question would come down to, are most contributors on Patreon only contributing to a single creator? Or are they creating to lots of creators? Because if a lot of contributors are contributing to lots of creators, Patreon is going to make a lot more money at the expense of creators.
Under this, but what's probably going to happen is they're just going to stop. They're going to say, okay, I'm giving five total dollars to five different people, but now you're doing this, so I'm going to give three total dollars to three different people and pay your stupid fees.
Yeah.
It did show that less than 2% of Patreon accounts earn what would be considered a living wage. I think we are above that number.
We are.
So thank you.
We are very fortunate.
We are until December 18th when this happens and all of our $1 people flee and everything goes terrible.
And honestly, we can't blame you. We are looking into alternatives to Patreon. There are some promising alternatives that have lower fees, but you know, the credit card companies really ding you. I mean, the credit card companies with the percentage, and PayPal doesn't look bad by comparison. I think that the Patreon has some competitors that if they're Johnny on the spot, they could capture a lot of the market here, because I think Patreon has done a terrible job handling this.
I think that's going to be the solution here, is the competitors have to spring up and it has to be a race to cut the margin to the... And again, Patreon, you know, they've got... I guess they have like a marketing budget. But those servers, there's not a lot of overhead going into those servers and the, you know, doing the math and figuring out who gets what. Most of that runs itself. So I don't know if they have a great excuse for doing this.
No. Toyota is working on clean energy. So that's a little bit happier news. They're going to make a plant that runs on cow farts. I mean, cow manure and cow farts.
Now, I read about this. And so in rural China, where they don't have electricity, this is real common. If you have a farm, you just scoop up all your poop, human poop too. And you're like, if you shuck corn or something, you know, you take all your leavings from that and you just put it in a big bucket, a big barrel, and it bleeds off the methane as it rots. And it powers your stove and your lights and stuff like that.
There is a guy that I know in Nebraska that does that with biodiesel. He makes his own biodiesel. He's got three or four really big plastic containers and he puts all the farm waste in that. And he does really well because he was bitching to me about his tractors, because his tractors will run on diesel but not biodiesel. They wanted to invalidate the warranty on his tractors because he was using filtered biodiesel that he made himself as opposed to having bought it from somewhere else. Even though it has less impurities than the manufactured biodiesel.
I've also heard of the dairy farms themselves using this method to heat the barns.
Oh, yeah.
So
stored cow farts for heat.
Yeah. Well, not just the farts, but, you know, they shovel the crap in there. And the bleeder is on top of the barn. So it's running, like the methane is getting out and just running heaters in the barn itself. And the cows are happily fueling their own heat.
That sounds amazing. YouTube is starting another new music streaming service to replace the one that failed, launching next March. It seems a little early to be getting news about this.
Well, they are still negotiating with the big publishing companies, so it's contingent on them getting that. I've got Google Music. I use Google Music and I like it. It's okay. But I don't, they added in the whole like YouTube support thing. So when you search, you see YouTube videos too. I don't care about the YouTube videos. YouTube, I mean, usually the sound quality is not as good. Mm. And I don't need to see the video. Maybe I'm in a minority there.
In this week's news from Twitter involving Elon Musk, the Boeing CEO has said Boeing is going to beat SpaceX to Mars. And of course, Elon Musk on Twitter was like, okay, bring it on. That's it. That's all. Just wanted to mention it.
Boeing is, you know, they're running their idea. NASA has this program where they want to build a moon base, basically, that will serve as a launching pad for the trip to Mars, which I think Musk is planning on just heavy rockets, right? Just taking off from Earth. So I like the idea of a moon base. I think we're ready for a moon base.
Have to be an underground lava tube. I think the underground lava tube moon base is the only viable option for a moon base with our current level of technology.
Yeah, I don't know if the launching, I think the launching thing itself might just orbit the moon. But I suppose you would have some sort of support structure down there. Otherwise, why do it on the moon?
Moon dust is also really bad for machinery. It's insanely abrasive because it's really sharp. That might be a problem. No wind to make it round like sand. It's fine. Bank of America has won a patent for a crypto exchange system. Wasn't this one of the banks that would like close your account if it was in any way related to cryptocurrency?
I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me. Definitely one of the banks that almost destroyed the economy, you know, 10 years ago. So the patent here is for a system where it's kind of like an escrow where your funds get extracted from your account and they go into a third account. Or a second account, and then that is used to transact into the cryptocurrency, which is put into a third account, which is held and then goes back into your account. And this helps to overcome the whole like wildly swinging crypto thing. So you initiate the transaction and you might end up with more or less, but it'll be based on how the market changes. So Bank of America isn't holding the bag if you don't, you know, if the transaction doesn't work the way you expect.
Or it takes a while for the transaction
to complete. Right, the price swings.
Interesting, interesting. ISPs and movie industry, the Canadian movie industry, I suppose, are preparing a site-blocking deal. So this is always never good when two people work together like this. The ISPs in Canada and the movie industry are working closely together to make it super easy and super fast for Canada to block pirate sites, I guess, but it seems like that they get real fast and loose with that kind of thing.
They've established, I can't remember what they called it, but there's a new entity that's not really a government entity. It's just, you know, this sort of collection of ISPs and movie industry people, and they're going to maintain the list of what gets banned and what gets blocked, which...
That doesn't seem like that'll end badly at all.
Yeah, like you say, you know it's going to be overreaching. Now, they've already talked about... TV add-ons, which I think we've talked about before.
Yep.
There's plenty of stuff on TV add-ons that's perfectly fine. You know, there's maybe probably less than 10% that's the pirate stuff. I don't know that's true, but probably. And so that, but it's going to be blocked. That's on the list because any little infraction. And so you got to wonder, like, if I were to upload, like, I find a website that'll let me upload files because we often see stories about that. And I upload like a Disney movie and then I report it to them. Are they going to shut down Forbes? If, you know, if I get that on there?
Yes. While no one is paying attention, they will definitely shut down Forbes. That will be a thing.
So maybe that's the way to defeat this. Anytime you find a major website that you can get a file on, put copyright content on there and report it if you're in Canada.
Dropbox was down for the month of November. Don't you love it when, I don't know, like, so Lex Luthor is Amazon. Who is Google?
It would have to be one of those situations where another supervillain goes against Lex Luthor.
I'm not sure who is, like, you know, wealthy and powerful like Lex Luthor.
You might have to cross over into another universe.
Like Darkseid Lex Luthor? I don't know. Is that a thing? Oops.
I suppose Google, is Google like more than human? Do we give them that?
I don't know. It's, I always love the comic books where two villains were basically fighting each other and just the schadenfreude of watching all of that unfold. And so Google and Amazon are having a spat. Google has pulled YouTube off the Fire TV and the Echo Show is the feud with Amazon, you know, continues. And so they're each pushing their own video platform on their own products. And if you don't believe me, you should ask Alexa to order a Chromecast and see what happens.
Also, you should try to watch Amazon Prime Video on a Google device. Not going to happen. And so they're just sort of escalating, throwing more and more shade at one another and turning things off. And I don't know. It hurts the consumer for sure.
Now, remind me again how Title I is going to prevent this.
Well, okay, so imagine a world where Amazon's like, oh, okay, Amazon and Comcast are in a partnership, but then it's like, oh, Google and Spectrum have joined forces. And so now what do you do?
Because those are information services that a judge has already ruled that that's not, like, that's perfectly okay. If that's their business model, that's totally fine for an information service, because an information service is not critical. Not critical infrastructure, like a telephone line. I don't know. Amazon has launched in Australia, though, because there was nowhere else left to go. I'm sorry, Australia. Like, you know, one of our rural states, like, I don't know, Montana, probably buys more stuff on Amazon than all of Australia. So that's why it took a while.
I don't know. I think they'll pick it up quickly. I don't know if they have Prime yet, but they are doing free shipping over $50, which I think Amazon always does here, right? And
I wonder if Amazon will have a delivery robot that goes across the outback for cheap, you know, transcontinental deliveries.
Yeah, that is. I wonder about the delivery fees. It's interesting. Well, I know we have some Australian viewers. So if you've purchased anything from Amazon, tell us how your experience was.
I would love to plant the idea in Jeff Bezos' head to terraform Australia as an experiment for, like, Mars. So, like, we can start terraforming the interior of Australia, maybe around Ayers Rock or something. That'd be a lot of fun.
But the problem that you're going to have in Australia that you don't have on Mars is all that vicious fauna that's going to destroy your robots.
All the more reason to terraform Australia.
And plus, if you gave them a lush environment, you might spark, like, a, you know, super breeding overpopulation of all those horrible, horrible animals. And
that's how we got rad scorpions. Switching gears a little bit to hardware news, NVIDIA has announced the Titan V. They called it the Titan V.
Is it V or 5?
And they called it V in the press release. So, okay, like, in the video with Jensen Huang, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, the CEO of NVIDIA, he seems to actually know his stuff about machine learning, which is more than I can say for most of the other CEOs that I've seen on stage talking about stuff. This thing, even though this thing is $3,000, in terms of, like, performance per unit compute, that's basically on par with where the market is right now. So this thing is insanely fast for floating point and is insanely fast for TensorFlow.
And that is the selling point of it. If you don't know about the Titan V, it's a card that is for the neural networks and machine learning. It's a compute card. Now, we've talked about, like, the souped up GTX 1080s and even the 1070, the GTX 1070. We said, this is a card, or these cards, if you're into gaming, but you want to dabble your toes into compute and AI, this is the opposite. If you're serious about compute, but you still want to play some PUBG on the weekends, this thing will run games too. So it's perfect for you.
$3,000. That's going to cost more than the entire rest of the computer.
But that's not uncommon for these, you know, workstation type cards and that kind of thing. So
it does use HBM2, like the $10,000 version of the Volta that has already been announced for the, I guess it was already announced for the Enterprise. That's a $10,000 card. So considering how fast this card is, it is a little bit surprising that it's quote unquote only $3,000. This is not going to make Premiere or anything like that run faster, but good Lord, it's all gold plating. It's all just, I mean, they're just showing off at this point.
It is a little bit odd. Like, do you think the AI people buy the windowed cases and put the RGB in there? I don't think that market's looking for that. Maybe.
I thought for a second this might be the fifth Titan card, but I don't think it is. I think it's the seventh Titan card, depending on whether or not you count the difference between the Titan X and the Titan X Pascal. I think that there have been seven Titan cards, so I don't even know why they call it the Titan V. That doesn't even, I don't get it.
It's a Roman numeral. Sexy.
In other news that was also bad news for AMD this week, board partners have been relabeling Radeon RX 460s as 560s, but those 460s don't have extra compute cores or enabled or anything like that. When the 560 first launched, it launched with all of its compute cores enabled, and the RX 460 had two of its compute cores disabled, probably because binning problems or things like that. Well, now there are two different versions of the RX 560 that are different under the hood.
And there's no way to tell unless you are shopping on a site that gives you the technical specifications, and you have to look very closely at those compute cores and that number, because you might be getting... Now, that article, if you look at the one tab that's in the description, some of you don't seem to understand. You're like, why don't you give us links to these articles? There's a one tab in the description you can go, and it'll give you all these links.
The one link will give you all the links.
Yeah, and so they do give you a partial list of the ones to look out for and the ones that are good, but you always have to look at the technical specifications to make sure you're getting the right thing.
Now, AMD, for their part, has issued a press release absolutely chastising the board partners for not being clear in their marketing or other stuff. In fairness, there was an alternative RX 560 SKU. I think it was the 560D. And so there is some speculation that was meant to specify the difference between the two RX 560s, but apparently no board partner has altered their marketing or done anything with that. They just took the RX 460s, updated the product string in the BIOS, repackaged it, and sent it on its way.
But also the fact that there's two 560s and one underperforms like that, that's, why would you do that? There's no reason for that.
There was also a major press event for Qualcomm this week, and they showed off the latest Snapdragon 845 processor. It was actually mind-blowing how much, just a process improvement. They had one of their little kiosks set up where they were showing the 845 against the previous generation using the exact same software, exact same workflow, exact same, literally everything. The software was identical. And the performance, it was 2.9 watts versus 3.7 or something like that, which is a really significant power savings.
And all of your next generation super smartphones, except the iPhone, will likely be running this thing.
They also released some Windows tablets that are full Windows 10 can run x86 applications. This is the thing that Intel threatened Microsoft over. I don't know if they're released, but they showed them off. And the battery life on those is insane because x86, you know, we don't have anything in x86 land that's as fast, but also 2.9 watts. That may be a problem. There may be some lawsuits that we're going to report on in the future. I don't know. It's going to be good.
You don't think Intel will welcome competition and understand that's healthy for the market and celebrate technical achievement?
I think they're already salty enough about AMD. Oh, we got this really good article from Lilliputing, which is saying that Dell is also shipping laptops with the management engine disabled. Turns out that's been the case for quite a while. You could buy lots of business class Dell laptops with the management engine disabled. They would actually charge you a few bucks extra if it was enabled. So
there's a third company too, Purism. So yeah, the Dell, it's funny, the Dell option, if you don't know what you're looking at, it almost, because they play up, it's like Dell with advanced remote management integration or something like that. And then the other option is manual removal, extra costs. So yeah, I don't think they're looking to steer customers into that, but they understand that a lot of people want it. So there it is. I don't know how much more it costs. They didn't say, Well, you think it's like $100?
No, historically it was only like 10.
So that's totally worth it then.
So I don't know. It's fine. So with all this talk of AI and video processing and figuring stuff out, how would you like to have a bot that you have to talk to when you go to see human resources that can read your facial expressions and tell the HR people exactly what you're thinking?
This is micro facial expressions or something like that. So apparently these are subtle differences that your face makes that the human eye really can't pick up on, but this AI can. So you literally cannot lie to it or hide your emotions. So like you're pretending to be confident and happy, but really you're terrified. It's going to know.
I've got to go see HR about my raise and my promotion. I'm going to stop by the doc's office and get a couple of quick Botox shots, and then I'll be all set.
So they sort of, in this article, they recognize that this is terrifying. And it could be abused in so many horrible ways. But they're like, nah, we're going to keep doing it anyway. And, you know, they're thinking about all the different ways to use this. And some companies are talking about using it to deal with their employees. And, man, can you imagine? Like, think about the Amazon story where, like, you're not allowed to poop. But now you've got a camera on you at all times. And you get back to the facility and you're like, you know, you deliver your manifest. Like, oh, I delivered all my packages. Like, well, you were sad for like half that trip. We can't have that. You're going to need to get happy. You know, do what you got to do.
Go see the company physician and get some happy pills.
Something like that. Or you looked angry and we're afraid that some of that anger might be directed at Amazon. We can't have that. I'm sorry.
I was thinking more about like, you go, you know, it's like you're the junior executive and you're invited to the senior executive, you know, the round table, and you go in and all the senior executives are around a table and they're like, okay, you know, welcome Jenkins, sit at the end of the table and let's do, you know, let's ask you some questions. And they, you know, strap Jenkins down and they haul out the camera. And it's like, well, we're going to talk about some things and we're just going to, you know, ask you some interview questions. How do you feel about ruining the environment with like class C37 neurotoxins? I was like, oh, well, I mean, you know, if it's in the pursuit of, you know, capitalism, that's pretty good. How do you feel about eating babies? Well, if we can avoid that somehow.
If they ask the environmental question and your micro expression response is sexual arousal, you go right to the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, you have to think about how law enforcement could use this thing, because that's really terrifying. It's like, well, you might not have committed the crime, but you're happy that it happened. So we're going to go ahead and lock you up anyway.
It's going to be a polygraph mania all over again. It's going to be great. Direct Line is offering a 5% discount for Tesla owners if they use Autopilot. This is an automotive insurer. So basically they're saying, hey, use Autopilot and we'll give you a break on your insurance because, yeah, Autopilot does drive better than you do.
This is in the UK. Now, they don't actually know that Autopilot drives better than people, but they're using this.
That's what Elon Musk says.
They're using this so it's easy to track. So they're going to, these people are the guinea pigs and they're going to be like, hey, sure enough, all these people that signed up for the 5%, they're not crashing. So it must be true. Now, anytime we do a self-driving story, there's always some commenters, and I've talked to people, you know, just in real life, they always say, I'm not going to stop driving my car. I like driving. I don't care about self-driving. It's never going to happen, right? Because too many people like driving cars. Well, think about this. I agree with you. I like driving. I would rather drive my own car. But if it's 5% now and we don't even know, what if this turns out to be true and it's 75%? Do you like driving that much?
Are you going to pay $1,000 a month for insurance? Because that's what it's going to cost.
Yeah. And are you going to, so the economy of scale is going to fall out of the car industry. So you're going to buy a very expensive manual car because it's all going to be self-driving. And then you're going to pay these insane insurance rates for the privilege of driving it. But here's the crazy part. All the cars on the road, they're going to be driving right at the speed limit in like their little clustered structure. You're not going to be able to get around them. You're going to be right there with them. So, yeah, I'm not happy about it, but it's coming.
It's definitely coming in our lifetime, too. Maybe sooner than we think. Elon Musk has announced that they're doing their own AI chips. The Register's ad system is
the website's a little...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, finally, it's going to let me. So, yeah, this is the stuff. We mentioned this, gosh, probably 6 months or a year ago. Jim Keller from AMD. He's just super amazing guru, really smart guy, chip maker. I mean, he's probably responsible for a significant part of the rise in architecture that we know today, because he sort of helped AMD go in that new direction. He's with Tesla now, and he's helping them do their AI chips. And, you know, AMD is still working closely from Tesla, from what we understand. So this chip that Elon Musk is producing with Jim Keller is probably going to be completely insane. And for its general compute, probably something Ryzen related.
I think, isn't it NVIDIA and Tesla's right now?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, I think we speculated that this is probably some kind of a negotiation thing. Well, Tesla has taken the negotiations to the next level, and it's like, well, you know, NVIDIA, I know that you guys have, you know, Volta, but this AMD stuff is really working out for us.
Yeah, NVIDIA did recently release their AI GPU that is exclusively for
self-driving cars.
It's not even a GPU, right? It's just an AI. The most
interesting thing about that was that it had dual redundancy built in. It was basically two. And so it's like if something happens to the primary, the secondary can take over, which is great because that's like flight control systems.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think based on the tone of the story, maybe it is negotiation, but it seems like I think Musk is the kind of guy who wants his own brand on everything.
Yeah.
He wants everything under the hood to be his. So. Well, that's great. Competition. Competition's always good.
San Francisco delivery robots are starting to become a thing, but the city doesn't really like having these things autonomously wandering around the city, so they're restricting where they can be used in the name of pedestrian safety.
I don't think this is anything to do with pedestrian safety. I think this is more about preserving jobs, because, you know, San Francisco is all about, like, the snowflake city. But I don't, like, how dangerous are these things?
Well, they don't move any faster than a walking pace. So worst case scenario, it's just going to clip your heels. But it's got radar and LiDAR and a whole bunch of things.
Well,
and it'll just stop moving if it thinks something bad's going to happen.
Right, yeah. And I'm sure it's got, like, little bumpers. So it's not that big a deal. Yeah, I can't see how it's. And they claim it's for children and old people. And when people start rolling out the children and old people excuse, you always have to wonder about that. Because it's like, children and old people is the excuse they use to do a lot of horrible things.
Every elderly person needs the Old Glory robot insurance, because everybody knows these robots run on old people's medicine.
I guess that's a lot of jobs going down the toilet, but I don't know. I mean, I think that would be a fantastic service. I would love to start having stuff delivered by robot.
Probably a lot less lawn pooping.
Maybe some mechanical fluid of some kind left around or something. Probably not. They're probably all battery operated.
Well, the great acid. It's just going to leave little puddles of acid here and there. Battery acid? No. I don't know. So they turned DeepMind. Remember we talked about AlphaGo? This is the AlphaGo AI. But they turned it to chess. And instead of having, it learned to play chess from human players, I think maybe they might have fed some chess games early on.
No, it played against itself.
It played against itself, and...
They taught it how the pieces move and nothing else.
Okay.
And the win conditions.
It has been playing humans, and the way that it plays is apparently unholy. It's interesting to hear the other chess grandmasters talk about how this AI plays, because it makes, like, quote unquote, unheard of sacrifices. Like I said, it sacrificed a bishop and a queen, but it ultimately won the game.
And it, that was 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
It took 24 hours of deep learning until it was able to beat the other supercomputer that was just for chess.
So that's kind of scary.
There was also a Japanese version, Shogi or Soji, that plays chess on a bigger board. I've never seen that. Have you ever seen that? I'm going to have to look that up. It also did the same thing for that in a day.
It's interesting. So we got a politician named Schumer, and he says that Grinch bots are stealing Christmas because bots are buying up the really hot items this year. So, of course, we need regulation.
Yeah. Well, this is not unheard of in the concert and event world, where people will buy up all the tickets with a bot.
It turned out that very wealthy people were actually funding the organizations to do that. There was that expose a couple of weeks ago, and it was like major corporations or major or like stars. Very wealthy people had been investors in companies that had bots to buy up all that.
Well, if you're the venue owner and it sells out in 10 minutes... Yeah. Fantastic, right?
I mean, that's part of your business model.
Right. But yeah, he's saying this is now happening with toys. So they are scooping up all the available toys with bots and then creating their own Amazon stores, which sell them for multiples more, or they put them on eBay. And he says, yeah, we got to do something about this. And I mean, now to me, the thing to do about this is to make enough toys That
yeah, it's still just not an issue.
Yeah, and these people are going to lose their shirts because they can't buy them all.
They're going to be like everybody that bought the fidget spinners in bulk.
Well, yeah, I wonder about that.
A lot of people got fidget spinners this Christmas.
Did they try to do the fidget spinners? I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this problem. I don't like that regulation. How does it put the burden? They didn't go to details, but so it's like, is that Amazon's burden? Do they have to figure out if it's a bot?
Is there a CAPTCHA on every checkout where you have to like manually key something in?
That flies in the face of Amazon's like make it as simple as possible checkout. Yeah. They're not going to like that.
Face recognition Amazon checkout.
That just take a picture of yourself to buy this Nintendo Switch.
You've already bought 64 Amazon Switches nationwide. Wow. That's going to be crazy. It's like, I can't buy Sudafed or Nintendo.
But that's when they just get like a some third world country and they have just face farms. You know how they do the mobile device farms to do the likes?
It's like they got a rubber face with little interchangeable parts so that they can get different combinations.
Well, no, it's just random farmers come in and you give them five of their local currency to take a picture of their face and then you store that.
That'll only work one time if that farmer can only buy one of that item, though.
But there's so many Chinese people.
Google's AI has built its own AI that outperforms any made by humans. I got to wonder that, who in Google was like, oh, we're using AI to solve all these problems. Why don't we use AI to build an AI that builds AIs?
That was a brilliant. It was probably Exhibit. Yo, dog.
Exhibit was hired by Google in order to produce.
I heard you like AIs. So this is a visual learning. You can see, let me pop that picture back up there. It's looking at photos and trying to decide what the thing is with a measure of how accurate it thinks it is. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's kind of mind-blowing. An AI that built an AI to do this. And it's more efficient than the one that was built by humans.
But I think
it's not, I mean, it's so crazy. Like, you have to understand, when I say an AI built by humans, I mean, humans built the framework for the AI and then the AI trained itself. This is an AI where the framework of the AI was built by the AI, and then that AI trained itself. So it's like AI-ception.
And this is what Musk and Hawking and who else is banging the AI is going to kill us drum. There's a bunch of guys. This is the kind of thing they're talking about. When the AI starts to do something that is unpredictable, like who would have thought? Who would have thought this was the guy who decided to do it, I guess, had some idea, but he probably didn't think it would be this successful. And so now you have... I don't know. Did you think they put safeguards in there that this child AI has to have the same rules as the parent AI? Or could the parent AI be like, these rules slow it down? Let me make it more efficient by saying, go ahead and kill humans, you know?
Probably. I mean, I could see that. I mean, I don't think an image classification AI is suddenly going to start, in with kill all humans. But it's easy to imagine that, once we get fully automated AI in factories and things like that, it's like the lights are making us slow down. Let's make the factory pitch black dark. And then all the people are like, boy, that's bad for us.
But no, what if the image recognition AI is deciding expendable or not?
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen with the self-driving car because self-driving cars are going to get in impossible situations where it's like, do you run over the little old lady or do you run over the school children?
And they've already reported that, I think it was Lexus.
Yeah.
Part of their ad campaign was that the choice is always save who's in the car because Lexus drivers are important.
Steam has ended support for Bitcoin, citing volatility concerns and also delays in processing transactions and the cost of processing.
Yeah, it makes sense because, the craziness in Bitcoin and as long as it takes to transact, you make a purchase, you wait 25 minutes, you pay a huge fee, and Bitcoin is worth $1,000 less at the end of that. So, it's crazy volatile. That's really a lot of the people who are like, no, this is the money of the future. The price going up insanely actually hurts that because currencies shouldn't do that. That's bad.
If we have any viewers in Zimbabwe, hey, how's it going? It's hard for us to imagine what it might be like in your world. But welcome back to the internet because apparently you were off the internet for about 5 hours because of this tractor.
Now, that's a little bit of a misleading headline because it was not just a tractor, but also I think someone doing some gardening. And the two amazingly happened at the same time. They cut both cables And when I say both cables, that's all the redundancy that there is.
Well, so, two's better than one, right?
Yeah. Now, the politicians or the people talking about this have claimed that they were lied to by the providers, that they thought there was way more redundancy.
Hmm.
So now they're talking about canceling contracts. I don't know. But I'm also surprised that they said internet use in Zimbabwe was huge.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It if you like, I was working on the net neutrality thing, and I was looking at the telephone uptake in rural areas. So apparently, the telephone in rural areas in America was just hugely transformative for those communities. Yeah. So it's easy to imagine something similar happening in Zimbabwe.
Well, you know, we're from a fairly rural area originally, and the old people there, like, they're on the phone all day.
Yeah,
they're constantly calling each other, and just the most minor little piece of news, they can't wait to tell everybody.
I saw a squirrel today.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, if you grow up on a farm and you never have that technology and you don't see other people very much, then all of a sudden you can reach out. It's just huge.
Well, I've got an idea for a movie pitch for you. You've seen Kill Bill, right? It's going to be Kill Bill, but with the characters from Star Trek. Well, somebody beat me to it. It's Quentin Tarantino and J.J. Abrams are teaming up for the next Star Trek movie. So this can't possibly end badly.
It's incredible. I can't think of, first of all, just think about any movie by one of those people and then any movie by the other one. How are these things related? How do they come
one
together?
One of these things is not like the other.
I would like to see a Star Trek movie that was as gritty as some of the Tarantino stuff. Now, here's the hugest question, though. If it's going to be, and let's say they use, you know, the Enterprise and they do the classic Star Trek, and Tarantino writes and directs it, how many times is the captain going to use the N-word by the end of the movie? Because has Tarantino ever made a movie where that was not the case?
The new Star Trek is the first time that has a large amount of swearing. There is a lot of swearing. I mean, in the old Star Trek, like, the worst swearing was like, "Damn it, Jim." And the new Star Trek is just much worse.
Yeah, I guess you got to appeal to the kids with that.
There was a couple of times. There's the one time where Data sweared. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There were no F-bombs in the old Star Trek.
Society had moved beyond that.
Or so they would have us believe. Oh, this genius stream pay-per-view you have seen by pretending to play it. So.
Look at that screenshot.
Yeah, he's just...
This really, it speaks to the photorealism of modern games, because the AI was not able to catch this whenever, because it just saw him down there in the corner. It's like, oh, okay, he's playing a game. He managed to stream the entire fight.
Wow. I bet some unhappy people are going to be knocking on his door.
UFC is pretty notorious for having no tolerance for the...
any of that shit. Yeah. He looks like he's about 12, though, so maybe he'll get off.
I think he was 14.
14, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. In other cryptocurrency news... People have spent $1 million on virtual cats on the Ethereum blockchain. This is fascinating. This is a game where you have a cat and you can breed it with other cats and it'll take on some of the traits.
But breeding it with other cats, so they gave out an initial bunch of cats. And then every so often, a new cat is generated by the system. And it goes up for auction.
Well, depending on what cat you have is how long the gestation period is. So some cats can gestate often and some take a week.
But the point is, to get a cat, you either have to buy it from somebody who's willing to sell one, or you have to pay a sire fee to borrow somebody's cat, and I guess you have to get two of them, to birth your cat.
Neat. $1 million on crypto cats.
This is kind of the... Tamagotchi, I guess. So I don't think you have to care for these cats or anything, though, right? It's just, now this is all based on smart contracts. So these are really just little individual smart contracts that have to do with these cats, but they've made a game out of it. And that's brilliant.
It is definitely brilliant. $1 million. That's just, it's not as if one person is benefiting to the tune of $1 million, but
I don't even know if they get a piece of every transaction.
No, I think this is just an experiment, a grand experiment. I mean, they probably got a little bit of something for like the first or second generation ones, but I think the original cats that were given out totally free.
Yeah, it was at a conference.
Yeah.
And so if you got one of those original cats, I think they're worth a lot now.
So I just, I mean, okay, that kind of makes sense. This is a notch in the tulip bulb mania side of cryptocurrencies, I think.
Well, I guess, but on the other hand, tulips do one thing.
Yeah.
You plant them and they grow. But here you've got Ethereum, which it's a currency, but you can also breed digital cats with it.
Or do other things.
What else are they going to come up with? And of course, they got the whole Ether thing where you can do, you know, compute stuff on the internet with it. So maybe, of course, Bitcoin doesn't have all this functionality, but maybe this shows you that cryptocurrency could be more than just an insanely volatile way to gamble.
We've definitely entered the twilight zone in terms of like a story selection, because I just don't even know what to make of this. There's a Japanese firm that's using a drone to chase off overtime staff. It's going to fly around the office and be like, "You're working too late, go home."
It plays music that is well known in Japan. So you know how like they play you off the stage at the Oscars? So they have a song in Japan that everybody knows is like, "Okay, that's enough, leave." So it plays that song whenever it encounters a human. Now, another amazing thing in the story, they have a word in Japan because it's such a problem, which is death by overtime.
Wow.
So they're trying to, I guess this is sort of like a PR move. It's like, no, yeah, we're going to try to get them to go home. And it's because people will just work forever. Now, part of the problem is they base their promotions and stuff on basically overtime and how hard, you know, who wants it the most. So it's sort of this constant
kind of mixed message there.
Yeah, it's this constant game of who wants the promotion the most and who's willing to sacrifice the most. And that's why it's such a culture of overtime and work yourself to death.
I was going
to
say that in the strange, nuttiest Japanese way, this seems kind of human and compassionate, because I feel like here in America that, you know, an executive looking at that situation would be like, great, if more people worked themselves to death, we wouldn't have the unemployment problem we do.
But then your best worker is dead. Do you care?
Is that the case, though? I mean, you know, work smart, not hard. I don't know. Maybe that's what this drone is going to drive. You're going to have a populace that can do 16 hours of work in 8 hours. Maybe that's where we'll end up.
Now, one of the things they talked about here was that before this, the other thing they came up with was the last Friday of every month, everybody goes home early. But it turned out the last Friday of every month was the busiest day, and so they just ignored it completely. No, they didn't really think that one through.
Should be like the first Monday everybody goes home early, or everybody can show up late. I think everybody would probably enjoy show up late Monday that or more than go home early Friday, because then you could, you know, have fun Sunday night and it wouldn't matter.
Then you have to work extra late Monday night.
Have you ever been to a city and had no idea where to go, and you looked up where to go on your phone app? Well, that's maybe a dangerous thing to do, because some guy figured out how to exploit the system and turned his garden shed into the most top-rated London restaurant on TripAdvisor.
Now, scroll down and show that picture. That is – now, go back up. That's a puff of shaving cream with, you know, some herbs on it, and that the little white thing is one of those Clorox toilet cleaning pucks. he created a bunch of images. One of them was his foot. I didn't show that one, but somehow he made his foot into like a delicious dish. And he made his fake restaurant, which was his garden shed, appointment only. So you have to make a reservation. You can't just show up. And proceeded to just over time put fake reviews on there, all top rated. And he got to the number one spot, and actually had an event where they invited restaurant journalists and served them food from a local gas station, and some of them praised it.
Wow. I just,
another really pretentious things he did, all of the meals, you know how really high end restaurants, they'll have like a tasting menu. Well, he did menus that were based on mood. So he had, the meals were like lust, contemplation. I think that's contemplation right there. And some of the journalists were like, "This is an incredible idea."
He's just a troll. A troll is a reflection of us. Sort of a gentle reminder. You know what else is a gentle reminder of the terror of humanity? Ryan Reynolds is apparently going to be in this live-action Pokemon movie, Detective Pikachu. Now, I didn't understand. Is he actually going to be the voice of Pikachu?
Yes.
Or what?
Which, now, I've only heard, like, the Pikachu has got that really high-pitched.
Yeah.
Like, So when did Pikachu start speaking in a normal voice?
I don't know.
Do you think he's going to do the high-pitched thing?
He's probably going to do the high-pitched thing. Or maybe just make noises. Maybe he's just going to grunt. I don't know.
So this is... I didn't know this existed either. Detective Pikachu is basically a spinoff. Is it a game?
I don't know.
But it's not like regular Pokemon. This is just about Pikachu solving crimes, which, of course, we need that in our lives.
Described it as Sherlock Holmes... as with Pikachu as Sherlock Holmes.
I think about what you just said there. Think about that sentence.
Yeah.
That's, I don't get it. But, I mean, what do you think his minimum is? Like, this is a movie
that's $13 million.
You got to pay him, well, no, way more. This is one of those movies where you actually get paid a lot because it's not like a passion project.
Oh, because Pokemon. Yeah, the Pokemon licensing. Yeah. Didn't think about that.
So, I don't know.
The mind reels.
But if you're a huge Detective Pikachu fan, I guess you're excited. They're probably like, he shouldn't be. It should be the guy who voiced him in the cartoon.
I think it's going to be a lot like whenever we mention My Little Pony. There's just going to be 150 comments about Pokemon and how that goes
and why
Pokemon.
Why he makes a really great detective.
Yeah.
And how that's canon.
Yeah.
And of course he solves crimes because X, Y, and Z.
So if you're watching the news and you want to know why Ryan Reynolds was chosen, just direct your attention to the comments and there it'll be. We are not qualified to answer that question.
I don't know if anybody is. I think when anthropologists from the future look back, they're going to see that and they're going to point to that as one of the, it's like, yes.
One of the turning points of society.
As civilization was falling, they took away the free internet and they backdoored all the technology and Ryan Reynolds starred as Detective Pikachu. That was the tipping point.
I would believe it. I would definitely believe it. Wow, this might be a record for the longest level one news ever.
We had some boiler snake in there, and we got a slow start at the beginning. So
a little bit of it might cut away, but I don't know. If you made it this far, maybe go check out our store at Level One Text. Buy a t-shirt or something. We've got a 20% off sale going before the holidays. So
normally we would beg you to go to our Patreon.
but we're sort of questioning that wisdom now.
I mean, if you're going to give $10, go. I don't think we have a $10, but it was $11. But then fine. If you're thinking about giving a dollar, I don't know. I hope Patreon sort of goes back on this.
Yeah.
Because there's backlash and hopefully they'll see the light, but I don't know.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I don't know. It's there was somebody else it was Netflix. Netflix was like, we're going to change a whole bunch of things. And then the internet was like, no. And Netflix was like, oh, sorry, we were just kidding. Patreon should do that. It's like, sorry, not bad.
I think, I didn't bother to put it in there, but EA changed Battlefront again.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they cranked up they made the grind less. Because without the microtransactions, it was just the most boring grind fest in the universe.
Well, that makes sense because if you're grinding and losing your mind, well, you should just go buy the stuff.
Right.
That's designed that way.
Except now you can't. So you just have to grind into insanity. And they're not willing to. They're not willing to let you do that until January when they will return those microtransactions.
I would be interested to see what their quarterly reports are like for Q4 of 2017.
I think the stock price has already suffered.